I want to read a verse to us, Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Here's what it says. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I mean, if you look up the term, the just shall live by faith, you're going to find it all the way through the Bible, maybe four or five different occurrences, right from the Old Testament right through to the New Testament. And so God is trying to always draw our attention to faith. Remember that. The currency of heaven is faith. It's not money. I mean, the currency of our spiritual walks with God is faith, not how much money you've got in the bank or the opposite to that. God says it's by faith you're going to move mountains. It's by faith you're going to please me. It's by faith that you're going to see strongholds broken down. It's by faith that you're saved. It's by faith that you're going to see transformation in your life. And this morning I want to draw our attention to this verse. Now this verse speaks primarily about salvation. And really the heart of it is that, look, it's been revealed by faith to faith. This is how you got saved. Jesus gave you faith, and then in turn you exercised that faith through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and you received the Lord by faith, and you simply said, Jesus, come into my life and save me. That's how it worked. He was so good that he loved us before we loved him, that he gave us the faith before we exercised the faith, and then as we got convicted by the Holy Spirit, we exercised the faith, and we said, okay, I'm going to trust in you, Lord. I'm going to believe in you. But how many of us, we could do hands if you want, but how many of us, after we asked Jesus into our lives, the first few weeks of the first few months kept saying, Jesus, please save me again. I just want to make sure I'm saved. Lord, just ask you into my heart again. You just do it. Maybe you didn't, but I did. I asked the Lord into my heart night after night, moment after moment, because it was like, I just want to make sure that I'm definitely saved. Because the hard thing about faith is, how do you grab it? How do you touch it? I mean, I wish we could see the Lamb's Book of Life, because then we would be certain, we would just know, and even then we might doubt, is that the right book? Because you have to believe it by faith. Can I encourage you another point? Is that doubt's okay, because doubt helps us to draw closer to Jesus. I mean, Thomas wasn't a terribly bad person. What he did was he just pushed closer into Jesus, and then he got what he needed, and then he saw him for all he was. And so I encourage you that faith and doubt can coexist, but of course what doubt should do is draw us and push us closer to Jesus. And then we say, wow, he really is the king. Wow, he really is the miracle worker. Wow, he really is the one that saved me. And this morning, I want to think about this, but I want to step from it as well. Because I believe that God is saying, not only will you be justified by faith, not only will you know that you live by faith in Christ today before you even get to heaven, so you already know in your heart that you're saved, but I believe that God also wants to encourage us that we should live physically and spiritually every day by faith, every day. So everything I've got need of, I'm living by faith. You know, everything that I'm trusting God for, I'm living by faith. And what does that look like? It looks like, wow, I'm praying for this, I'm praying for that, I'm asking God for this, I'm asking God for that. But I feel that God is saying as well, I want to break you free from just your own environment, and I want you to see that you can make a difference in the world around you. So are we living by faith not only for our own lives, but are we living by faith for the people around us? Because we're going to read the Lord's Prayer in just a moment, and those words are big in it. Of course, it's a model prayer, but it's to remind us of, this is the way we should pray. These are the words that we should be thinking about. I shared it earlier, but this is how God has been convicting me. He said to me, hey, are you living for faith moments, or are you living for a faith lifestyle? It's just like every day, you're living by faith. You're living by faith. I'm not just like building up. It's like, you know, sometimes whenever you're just going through the journey of life and you're saying, it just feels normal right now. I'm not, you know, there's nothing big going on. There's nothing really going on. And then suddenly, wow, your friend gets saved. And you're like, wow, that was amazing. God is so good. And we're living by faith. And we prayed for him for 10 years or whatever it was. And now they're faith. And then, back to normal again. You know, just back to normal. You know, just trying to get through. Just trying to get through. And you can live like that if you want, but it's not the way that God designed us to live. It's just not it at all. In fact, he said that you would be like me. In fact, not only would you be like me, but you would do greater things than me, and you would be the same as me because you would know my voice, hear my voice, and no other voice would you follow. Now, I think because it's associated with sheep, sometimes we just try to want to dissociate with that because we're like, well, I'm not sheep. You know, I'm a human being. I'm a person. But God's using that analogy because it would speak to the people of the time. But God says, don't lose the meaning just because you're not happy with the object that he used. Because the idea is that we would know his voice, we would follow his voice, and no other voice would we follow or even want to understand. And yet, do you know the way I find sometimes, maybe you're like me, is that I try to think of, well, what would he say? What would she say? Like, what do I think? What do I say? You know, and I'm getting further and further away from what does God say? Because I want to live by faith. I want to go for him. The problem is, It can be scary. It can be scary when you live by faith. Because the days when you're just wanting to chill out, he's like, I think you should go out. I think you should go here. You know, the days when we're just wanting to relax, just wanting to be easy, he's like, no, I think you should go. Have you ever found it that sometimes when you've got to go do something, I was chatting to one of the guys earlier who says he's got to go and do something tonight, and he's having to really press into God because it's out of his comfort zone. Now, it'd be easy just to stop. It'd be easy just to quit there and just say, oh, that'll do me. I'll just leave it there. But it's in those moments when we're out of our comfort zone, what do you end up doing? You rely on God in a way that you've never relied on him before. And then you come out of it and go, wow, isn't God amazing? Isn't God amazing? But if somebody else asks you to do something after that, you'd be like, no, just give me a break. That was a pretty testy roller coaster. That was a pretty testing time of faith. And yet God is saying to us this morning that we can actually live in that space, be fine in that space, be okay in that space, and trust him every step of the way, even when you can't see the future. Anybody feel a bit nervous when you're not sure what the future looks like? Wow, it's like, what? And Jesus was like, I don't even know where I'm going to sleep tonight. I don't even have anywhere to lay my head. I've got no home to go to. Now, could he have had a home? Of course. But I almost think he decided not to have a home because he didn't want to get into the creature comforts that would say, right, I got to get home. You know what I mean? It's like, I know this meeting's going on, but I got to get home because, you know, there's stuff going on. I got to get home. And he decided, you know what? My home is somewhere. It's there. It's way off. I've got 3 years worth of here to go. I've got to go to the cross. I've got something to do. So I'm not going to let anything else to get in the way. And I want to encourage you by faith. I want to encourage you by grace. Don't feel that this is something you're going to have to try and work up in your own strength. If you do, you're going to fall very quickly. This is something that you're going to trust God in. You're going to be dedicated to. You're going to be committed to. And then slowly but surely, God's going to increase you. He's going to encourage you. And you're going to find yourself bit by bit. I'm like, wow, more and more I'm living by faith. More and more I'm trusting God for everything. More and more I'm like not going this way or that way. I'm going his way. I'm just listening to his voice. Because we are being, I guess, overwhelmed by so much information every day, it's going to be very hard to just make a complete shift and a complete break. But as we trust the Lord, as we live by faith, then suddenly he starts to whisper to us. He starts to call us. And I feel like this morning God wants to shift us from fleeting moments of faith, of like, wow, isn't God good? He did this, to God's good every day. God's amazing every day. I can rely on him. I can trust on him. Here's the thought that God put in my heart, and maybe it speaks to you this morning, is that I can trust God for all of my needs. I want to trust him for all of my needs, but what about everybody else? What about everybody else? And I want to encourage you this morning, is our Christian life just looking like this, where I'm just like, yeah, I'm trusting God for all my needs. I'm trusting God for all my needs. But by our own confession, what we're saying is, it's all about me. It's just all about me. But I'm trusting God for his needs. I'm trusting God for her needs. God, what's their needs? That's some of the questions we need to be asking ourselves, because that's what Jesus did. He said, I haven't come for me, I've come for you. I found out what their needs are. I found out their what they need, and I'm going after that because I know I can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. I know I can make the difference through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus laid down his divinity so he could come to earth, be empowered by the Holy Spirit, be led by the Father to break the curse of sin. But he was empowered by the Spirit. He was led by the Father, which means we can be. Are we being led by the Father, his voice? Are we being empowered by the Spirit? Are we listening to his voice? Do we understand his voice? Is his voice foreign to us? Is it one of those ones where we ring him once a month when things are really bad because we have a need? Or is it because I heard of such and such, something terrible's going on? We've got to pray. We've got to pray. And you know, wrapped up in the middle of that, which is really hard, and this is a really tricky one for all of us, is that we want to try and figure out and judge in the middle of it, because that will determine if it's worthy enough for us to pray about. Now, I get where that comes from, because I think of it all the time as well. But what I'm asking the Lord to do is to take away less of the figuring out and take away less of the judgment and simply be a person of faith and be a person of belief and be a person that shares. I mean, how many times we've done it, we've went to the mission field. It's like you get very quickly, very good at figuring out the people that would really listen to you about your faith. You know, you look for the really broken, desolate people. You think, they'll probably listen to you. They won't reject us. But everybody needs this message just as much as anybody else. But again, because I'm thinking about my needs, I'm thinking about me, I'm going to make it easier. And God's saying this morning, I want you to start to think in different ways. You've got to rely on me for everything, for everyone. Not just for you, not just for the things you have need of. Because you know what that brings us into the trap of? We've said it many times. I only go to pray when I've got needs. No, I don't need to pray. All's good for me. All's good for me. And God says, what? We have something to pray about every day. We have something to press into. We are men and women of compassion. We are people that rely on and trust in God for everything. Is it all in the storehouse or is it all in Him? Is it all in what we have or is it all in Him? Because watch out, if we ever lose what we have, what are we going to do next? Is it all in somebody else or is it all in Him? Because watch out, if it's all in somebody else, what happens if they're not there or they let you down or something changes? What are we going to do then? Because it was built a lot on over here instead of a lot on Him. Here's what God spoke to me about, Matthew 7. Do you remember the story? Jesus speaks multiple different things, but right at the end of Matthew chapter 7, this is what He talks about. He talks about the foolish builder. He says about a man that builds on the sand. We all know that story, the man that builds on the sand. And then the man that builds on the rock. Two builders. One was wise, one was foolish. Matthew chapter 7. Here's what God started to speak to me about. Anybody been on the beach this summer and you were trying to build sandcastles? Anybody on the beach this summer? Maybe you were trying to do them. You just wanted to master it again. You haven't done it in 20 years. Or maybe you were with your kids and you're like, no, we're going to build this sandcastle. We're going to do it. Here is one of the biggest things you have to consider when you're going to build a sandcastle. Obviously, you've got to have the bucket and the spade. Very hard to do it without the bucket and the spade. But what the decision what you have to make is, how close to the water do you go? Because if you go too close, then every time the tide comes in, it ruins your sandcastle. But when you get pretty close to the water, it's when you get the best sand. Because the sand's nice and moist, you can make good sandcastles. Get too close, it's all runny, no good. So then you decide to yourself, and you say to yourself, you know what I'll do? I'm going to go way far away from the sea so we can build really good sandcastles. But me and the girls discovered that when you get really far away, the sand's really dry, you need the water. So what do? We run to the ocean, we get the water, we bring it up to build the sandcastles. We make the moat, and we pour the water into the moat so we're ready to build the sandcastles. But what happens next? The water disappears really quickly. And then you say to yourself, we're going to have to move closer. We're going to have to move closer. But I feel that that could be a picture of our walks with God. Is that in our faith, are we trying to build sandcastles? Are we just trying to get moments of faith where it's like, wow, God's amazing. He gave us 45,000. Wow, months later, God's amazing. I see my friend got healed. Wow, 6 years later, something amazing happened. Wow, I've seen three things happen in 6 years. Because we built sandcastles, because we wanted quick, immediate results, things that would come quickly, but they faded away really fast. And God is here this morning, wants to encourage you. Not only are you to build your life on the rock, but everything we build should be permanent. Everything that we build should be something that sustains. Everything that we build should be kingdom worth and have kingdom value, because that's what really transforms people's lives. And the thing that grabbed my heart was this, is that we love shortcuts because we've been taught to love shortcuts. But if you want to build something that's going to last, sandcastles aren't going to do it. They are not going to do it. And our faith can be like that. If you just want to have those moments in worship, sweet, go for it. But you know what will happen? That song gets boring after a while. And then you say, what do I do now? Or that song stops speaking to you, or you hear something about the song, and then suddenly it's like loses its meaning. You don't like it anymore. And God's saying this morning, I want you to build permanent homes. I want you to build strong towers. I want you to run into me. I want you to run into me. I want you to have faith that stands on me. I want you to have faith that's secure, that's solid, that's on me. You can trust me for everything. You can trust me for everything. Let's read the Lord's Prayer this morning. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Says, this then is how you should pray. This is the model prayer that Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We're going to recognize God. He's a wonderful God. He's in heaven. He is worthy. He deserves all the praise. But here's where it can get a bit tricky with this prayer. I wonder if line 10 or verse 10 is in our prayers an awful lot or in our consideration. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I honestly don't believe that verse 10 is going to work for us if we're building sandcastles, or if we're trying to live in moment faiths, or if we're trying to build moment by moment faiths, or if we're trying to just build faith that will be good once every 6 years or once every 6 months. This only works if you're going to do the next one. Give us today our daily bread. Imagine if that was the way that we prayed day after day, moment after moment, every day. Lord, let your kingdom come in my work. Do you know what that means? Not just, Lord, I'm so thankful for my job. Part two, Lord, give me the confidence to share my faith in my job. You know, do you know what I'm saying? Because that's when heaven starts to come. There's no, I mean, it's all good. You've got your job. It's all good. There's only so many times you can thank God for your job till you just get fed up with it. Anybody find that? I mean, that's why God says you've got to be more than just that. It's got to push forward. It's got to take ground. You've got to bring transformation. So Lord, I'm really glad. I'm really thankful for my job. But after you've prayed that for about 30, 40 days or whatever it is, you're just fed up praying. It's like same as yesterday, Lord, amen. But God is saying, no, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, what does that mean? Okay, Lord, today, help me to see somebody get healed. Lord, help me. Lord, I'm going out to Tesco, but Lord, I don't want to just chat to Kirsty. I want to see somebody's life turn around when I'm there. You know what I mean? It's like, wherever you are, it's like, how can your kingdom come today, Lord? So do you know how you're going to know this and how you're going to find this out? You're going to have to ask him. You're going to have to say, God, what is your kingdom today? How do you want your kingdom to come today? That doesn't have to be really lofty and really grand. It simply could be, you need to encourage that person at work. You know what? You've never told them about your faith. Would you take 5 minutes and tell them part of your story? Not all the Christian-y stuff, but just the real stuff. I was lonely, I was depressed, and then something changed my life. That might be it. And then they go, oh, cool. A week or two later might go by, and they come back to you and say, do you remember that one day you told me you were lonely and depressed and something changed your life? What was that? And now suddenly they're asking you, and you can share. You can share your story. Because I don't want to just be thankful for what I do have. I want to take ground. I want to live by faith. I want to change things. I want to transform the places that we're in. I want to transform the world that we're in and the world around us. Verse 11, give us today our daily bread. God, I need to, when I pray, if I'm going to live by faith, I need to understand that I should be trusting God for everything. I should be trusting God for everything. I think the honest truth for me, and I'm going to be really honest, I probably don't need that prayer most days because I'm not looking for the kingdom to come, not really. And I'm not really looking daily bread because I've got plenty of my own. I've got plenty of my own. Here's the deception in the whole thing. Eat your own stuff for as long as you can. It's tasteless. It's got no life. It's always decaying. It's just no good. And someday it's running out. And then what do I have to do? I've got to run back to him. And then I want my faith moment. I want my moment. Oh, God, touch me. God, give me the feelings. Give me the goosebumps. Give me all that stuff's wonderful. And then that's it. God, thank you, Lord. You are just amazing. You just saved me once again. I do not want to live in a saved mentality in the sense of that's all that he does for me. So I only need him when I'm in trouble. I want to walk like a savior. I want to walk like Jesus. I want to bring transformation wherever I go. I have been transformed so I can transform. I have been set free so I can set others free. I have been liberated so I can find other captives and I can tell them about the liberation that I have found that will transform their lives. So Lord, let it come on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, give me my daily bread today. I am not sure how I'm going to help this person. I'm not sure what I'm going to say. I'm not sure how I'm going to sponsor that. I'm not sure how I'm going to give to this. I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to do that. But Lord, help me. I need you to help me every day. Every day. Last part. Forgive our debtors as we also forgive our debtors. Lord, help me to be steeped in forgiveness. Help me to be steeped in forgiveness and lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. Church, I want to encourage you this morning. Don't let that prayer be half. Don't let half of it be applicable and the rest of it just be like, oh, well, not again. Let it be what shapes our lives. Let it be what transforms our life. Let it be what Jesus always intended, that we would need this and we'd have to pray like this because we would be bringing transformation every single day. I want to share a couple more verses, a few more thoughts. If you're living by faith, your goal is Jesus, not results. If you're living by faith, your goal is Jesus, not results. Isn't it incredible that the main reason why we want to build quickly and the main reason why we want a shortcut is because we want results better than anything else? I just want it to be done. I just want the results. I just want it over. I just want this. I just want that. And yet there's so much for us to learn in the process. I'll give it to you. There's very little difference between the two houses. The big difference is there was sand in both. It's just one sand's processed, the other is not. There's processes that need to happen in our lives. There are processes that need to take place in our spirits, in our thinking, in our attitudes. It's going to happen as we're spending time with him. Psalm 91, like we shared a few weeks ago, I'm hidden in Christ. I'm living in the Almighty. I'm under His shadow. I'm following His voice. I hear His voice. He convicts me. He changes me. My mind changes. My thinking changes. He moves me. I go. I live by faith. I'm no longer living by moments. A few months ago, God, just even over this last year, few years, we've been living in incredible favor. Just ridiculous favor. Since we planted the church in 2015 and even the building before that and getting it ready. But even since the beginning, we've just seen continuous, consistent favor from God that's just incredible. And here's what God always spoke to me. And some of us will know this and others may not. But I remember what God saying over and over again. I said, God, but when will this run out? And He said, it doesn't have to run out. If you would just continue to believe, if you would just continue to have faith, I just overflow. I don't run out. I never run out. I overflow. The problem is most people cut off. Most people cut off. He doesn't stop. Most people cut off because we're like, I'm feeling good now. You know, back to me, back to my life, back to what I need to do, back to what I have to get sorted. And God is saying this morning, He has been for the last 12, 13 years, there's still more. The last 4 years, incredible favor, incredible, ridiculous favor. But what has God been speaking? Because we have to always recognize what He's been saying. Over this last 6 months, we've seen incredible acceleration. But here's what I feel, and here's what I believe that God has been speaking into my spirit over this last couple of weeks, is now we're stepping from the acceleration into the harvest. There's harvest time. I mean, it's no coincidence that God leads Ian and his family for the last year, convicts him for the last year to bring him to us at this time. No coincidence in that. No coincidence that we're having the Evangelism Light course in November as it kind of tees up with everything we're going to do. No coincidence that you're here at this moment, at this time, with a hunger for the things of God because of what's going to happen next. God has prepared this before time ever began, and we're just catching up to the reality of He is so good. Why are we talking about having less moment faith and more constant faith? Because we're going to need it for the next season. Because God has teed things up. The goodness of God has made things come to this point. And He's saying, right, come on, let's go. Let's be part of this thing. Let's go to this. If you were here last night, then Bill was just hitting you right between the two eyes. Because sometimes you didn't get hit right between the two eyes to make you think. Because you're so used to getting tickled, it doesn't work anymore. And so He hit us right between the two eyes and He said, come on, guys, lay down your life for something or don't do it at all. What was He really quoting? He was quoting Revelation. I'd rather you be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. Don't be lukewarm. If you're lukewarm, you know what the Lord says? I'll spit you out of my own mouth. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that because that makes no difference to anyone, but hot or cold makes it transforms. It does something. You may as well be with this gang because you're not with that gang. And God is saying this morning, there's something that's shifting. Our country is shifting. Our thoughts are changing. Our moralities are shifting. The culture is shifting. Things are changing, and it's going to require us to move. And God is increasing things. And do not be discouraged. Can I encourage you? Do not be discouraged when you see things going like this. Because the Word always tells us that when things go like this, He goes like that. And just every single time, the gospel just breaks forth in ways that it has never done before. Persecution brings revival. Whenever things get hard, He starts moving in ways we've never moved before. Why is that? Because when things are easy, we take it easy. When things are easy, we sit on the sofa. When things are just chilling, we chill. But when things start to get tough and things start to get hard, we start to pray. We start to press in. We start to trust God with everyday faith rather than moment faith. And I'm here this morning to encourage you. This is what God locked away a couple of months ago. I got this message from a friend of mine a few months ago. I don't know what, for whatever reason, I'm going to say the Holy Spirit. I didn't open the message. And then just a couple of weeks ago, or just 2-3 weeks ago, I opened the message. I want to read it to you. This is not my words. It's the Lord's. Let's read together. Amos, a book that you may not read that often, but it has wonderful truth in it, speaking about the future. Amos chapter 9, verse 13 says, behold, the days are coming. We're in the days. This is the Old Testament. We're in the days. So everything is real now. When the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip down with sweet wine and all the hills shall flow with it. Now let's read it in the message to help it translate just a tiny bit more into our context. Let's read it together. Yes, indeed, it won't be long now. It is now. It is now. God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of another. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. Right now, this is the season that we're going into. This is the season that God has been bringing us into. It's the season that we've been in this last couple of years, and it's the season that He's bringing us into constantly. We just cannot keep up. We have lost control. The Holy Spirit has taken over. It's good news. Blessings, blessings, blessings. Everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring out of the mountains and the hills. I'll make everything right again for my people, Israel. We are chosen people, just like Israel. They'll rebuild the ruined cities. That is what we're rebuilding. We are rebuilding the walls like Nehemiah of our building next door. As we rebuild it, we transform the town, the city, the nation, the country. We believe there are no limits for the things of God. They'll rebuild the ruined cities. The ruined cities speak of desolation, hopelessness, where God has been removed, where there's no hope for anyone outside of him because he is not there. Watch what will happen. They'll plant vineyards and drink good wine. They'll work their gardens and they'll eat fresh vegetables, and I'll plant them on their own land. They'll never again be uprooted from the land I've given them. God, your God, says so. This is what the Lord says this morning to us, written over 3,000 years ago, but applicable today. This is his promise to us. You see, what I find is this: if you want to live in moment faith, then be ready for just living normal, living under the radar, just living on the seat every day. But if you want to, you can step forward by faith and you can live on the edge of the seat. You can live on the edge, not in a reckless way, although it might look reckless to the world, in a God way. That is the way he has intended us to live, that we would live right out there, needing him to sustain us every day. We would live right out there, needing him to provide for us every day. That we would live right out there saying, God, I don't even know how I'm getting food, never mind the ones that I promised food. Lord, we would live right out there. That's the way God intended us. In fact, I want to encourage you. Anybody feel alive on our mission trip? Ever go on a mission trip and you go, that's the best week of my life? That's really the way it should be every single day. That's the way God has always intended it. Not that it would be a fleeting moment, that it would be the place where we would live. Here's the thing. You could move to that mission field. Within about 6 months, it would become like home is. Normal, boring. Do I have to do that again? Can I sit and watch TV? Something needs to change in your heart. It's not about the location that you're in. Something needs to change in your heart. Because otherwise, everything's about shortcuts. Oh, I love it. I go on missions once a year. That just transforms me. No, you got a shortcut. And it satisfied you, but it didn't transform you. It satisfied you, but it didn't transform you. Next year, I'll probably go again because you need it. Because you're working off shortcuts. You're not looking for transformation. You're not looking for a life change. You're not looking to change in the way that God's asked you to change. What did the disciples do? Jesus spoke to them before there was disciples. They said, hey, come follow me. They didn't go, sweet, we'll sign up to your newsletter, your email. Bill was talking about last night, an email newsletter. They're like, no, we'll follow. He didn't just say it as a good term. He didn't just say it as a good idea. He literally meant for them to leave everything to follow after him. That's what they did. Their lives were never the same again. I want to encourage you this morning. What is it we are after? If we want just the moments, if we want just the sandcastles, if we want just the quick pictures on Instagram, you can have it, but it won't be the real thing. I want the real thing. I hope that you want the real thing. I believe that if you would get the real thing, you wouldn't go back. I believe that actually you are craving the real thing. You maybe just didn't understand or didn't think that you could have it all of the time. God says you can. It doesn't have to be just moments. It can be everything. It can be all that you do. But it has to start with reliance on him. Simple obedience to say, God, I'm not my own. You tell me. God, this is not mine. It's yours. You tell me. Lord, this job, I'm not just here for me. It's you. Lord, I'm not going to work the whole of my life just to provide. Lord, you're my provider. Lord, help me to go. Help me to make a difference. We have to have a decision in our hearts. Something needs to move in our spirits that says, I'm going to change. I want something different. How far do we want to go? That is the challenge today. That is the challenge for our hearts. Can I give you an update of some of the things that God's been doing this last few weeks? Because I really want to encourage your heart. I feel like we read it there. It's going to happen so fast. It just went, Killian, put it back up one more second, bro. It's going to happen so fast. It's going to be on the heels of another. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. Everywhere you look, blessings, blessings, blessings. It's just going to be constant. And you know, this week, what the Lord kept saying to me was, it's going to be impossible to keep up. Some people's going to know this and some people's going to know that. It's going to be impossible to keep up. But the main thing is going to be the main thing, which is Jesus. And that's going to make it okay. We're going to have a hard time just keeping up with all the good things that God's doing. But you're just going to have to trust we're going for this thing. We're doing this thing. And we'll try to keep you updated as much as possible. But there'll be things going on in your life you haven't even got time to tell us about because you're doing your thing and you're just blessing and you're making a difference everywhere you go. Let me tell you a few things that we've done this last couple of weeks, even this last 2-3 weeks. Ian actually went to go speak to the BB guys 2 Sundays ago. Oh, it was last Sunday, 2 Sundays ago? Last Sunday, 300 people there all together. Just opportunity just to share, opportunity just to say. They want it, They're supporting. They're praying. They're thinking about all that we're doing. Ian was telling me about another group that got in contact, another church locally. They said, hey, how can we support you? They want to support us. From another church, they want to support us. This is the kingdom. This is what happens. Just blessing upon blessing. Everywhere we look, blessing. It's just incredible. We went up to a ministry just on Sunday night just to see what they were doing. There's a connection starting to happen. They're an hour and a half away up in Derry, up in Londonderry. They're just miles away, but God's creating a connection. Because it's just blessing upon blessing upon blessing. It's just incredible. St. Patrick's, they've said we can come in every single week as long as we want. Every Wednesday, St. Patrick's, they want us to come in. They want to be supporters. They want to buy bags for the food hampers this Christmas. They want to support us with food. It's just incredible. Did we ask for it? No. But God's just lining it up because it's blessing after blessing after blessing. He said, I need you to, do you see why we need to shift away from moment faith? Because we need you. We just need guys that are going to put their hands to the plate. Just different things. Even room hire, all sorts of different things. But I also want to encourage you with this. Is the blessing that Ian and his family are by being here. I encourage you with this. Ian didn't come for a big fat wage. There isn't one. Can I be truthful? He didn't come for a big fat wage. You know what he came for? To be a missionary. Wow. Came to be a missionary. That's it. Came to be a missionary. What does that mean? He's trusting God for his finances. I was like, are you sure? He's like, yes, God has told me. That's faith. That's faith. Makes no sense, humanly speaking. Makes no sense if you told somebody else. It's like, that boy's crazy. Good luck, Ian. Keep her lit. You know? But that's what we're thinking inside. He's just mad. He's just crazy. Inside, we maybe would say, I'd love to be like that. But I just live in moments faith. I just live with faith. Just here today, gone tomorrow. Just there's nothing else. But he's decided to become a full-time missionary for us. That is incredible. That is our dream. That is what we've been praying for. That is amazing. Now, what's our part that we can play on that? Can I encourage you? You know what you could do? Two things. You could pray for him. Three things. You can pray for him. You can go with him because he can't do it on his own. Remember, he didn't come to take over. He came to enhance what we're doing. But he needs your support. I need your support. He needs your support. We all need to work together because this is kingdom purpose and God's calling us all together. So you can pray, you can go, and thirdly, you can give, you can support. Already some people have signed up, they're giving them £5, £10 a month, £20 a month. What's on your heart? Could you spare a fiver? I mean, it all adds up, £10, £20, whatever, but God has blessed us, and by you being a blessing back, you're blessing the kingdom. You're transforming everything. See, God is pouring out blessings so much that we can't even keep up. Anybody feeling overwhelmed? That is okay. Holy Spirit is here. He is here to comfort you. Over this next couple of weeks, let me tell you a couple more things that we're setting up. We mentioned it with our Vision Sunday. We have Vibe Care coming up. We may even change that name, but the essence of it doesn't matter what the name is. We're just telling you what it is. The idea is we want to show care and love and compassion to our city. So what we're putting together is different bits and different bobs. Here's one of the things that was on our hearts. Ian actually shared it with me this the other day. He said, I wonder if we put some care packages together for new moms, would it maybe stop one or two moms that were considering an abortion just because they didn't have the stuff? Would that prevent maybe one abortion? And I was like, wow, let's be ready. Let's be ready. I feel that God's going to do something through all of this that's just going to blow our minds in ways that we never thought or imagined, but it will fit into the idea of we want to be that fourth emergency service. We want to bring breakthrough to the community around us. So simply what we're going to aim for, 1st of December, we're going to start, but in the middle of that, we're going to need your help to paint, decorate, get things ready downstairs. What we're still brainstorming, so if you've got wonderful ideas, come to us. This is not set in stone. We're moving by the Spirit. We're asking God to speak to us. We're getting into groups. Let me tell you, I got more phone calls last week from different people in the council and different bodies than I've ever had in my whole life, asking, do you want to come into this thing? Do you want to be a part of this thing? Could we come and do this? Could we come and see that? Ridiculous. You can't keep up. You won't be able to keep up. It'll just be blessing, blessing, blessing. So you can support, you can go, you can pray, you can give. You can also come and help prepare in all that we're doing here. Also, some other things that we're considering is that we'll have a bit of a storehouse where if you've got food, bring it along, non-perishable stuff. People, as we're meeting them, as we're going in at Christmas, whether it be for the food hampers, the hampers that we'll give to those in need, or whether it be on a regular basis, some people just need a start for a week or two. Maybe it'll be some clothes. If you've got some good clothes, bring them along. We want to give the good stuff, not the stuff that's rubbish. We'll bring that to recycling. We want the good stuff because it won't be a blessing. or maybe bits of furniture. We will not be able to keep everything, but we want to be able to have a storehouse that we can be a blessing to the people around us. A pop-up shop, in a sense, where we can pop it up, take it away downstairs, all that jazz, all those different things. But maybe God's been moving in your heart. Maybe he's been moving in your life and he's been calling you. Well, then this is the time. This is the time. What do we want to build? I do not want to build a sandcastle that looks good for a moment that washes away by the sea in the next. I want to build something that lasts. I want to build something for the kingdom of God. I want to pour out my life for him. I want to extend that. I want to grow that. I want to give him everything that I have because I want to make a difference for the Lord. Amen? Let's stand together.